Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Sturgis, Michigan, and is a wife and mother of four. She's also a full-time biomedical engineering professor and researcher at Wayne State University. She's appeared on ESPN, the History Channel, and Dancing with the Stars, and has won an Emmy for her research work on the ESPN series Sports Science. She's also a consultant to the NFL on biomechanical analysis. Her name, Dr. Cynthia Burr. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Cynthia Burr, a biomedical engineering professor and researcher at Wayne State University. Doctor, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood in Sturgis, Michigan?
Sure. I grew up... There were two people in my family, two siblings, myself and my sister, and kind of was raised in the country. My husband always jokes because I actually married my high school sweetheart, so he knew me when I was young, and he always jokes that I was a country girl and he was a city boy because he grew up in the city, which if you see Sturgis, Michigan, you'll know it's not a big city, it's a rather small city. And my mom and dad and I and my sister lived in a house that was on the top of a hill, and then my grandparents actually lived in a trailer that was just kind of at the bottom of the hill. So I had a very close relationship with my grandparents as well growing up. But my sister and I attended Sturgis High School. We went to actually Holy Angels Catholic School up till eighth grade. And from there, I ended up going to school in Kalamazoo for a while for undergrad. But
what's the biggest thing, Cindy, mom taught you, and what's the biggest thing dad taught you?
Boy, I've never really thought about that before. I think my mom really enjoys life, and maybe it's nothing that she specifically has told me, but I can see it. We just got back from Cedar Point, and my mom actually rode the bumper cars. She rode the octopus thing that I wouldn't even get on because it upsets my stomach, and she rode that with my daughter, and she's 67 years old. Sorry, Mom. 67 years old, and she just has always had like this love for life, and she probably didn't specifically teach me that, but just seeing how she enjoys life, I've learned that from her. And then my dad was always supportive, probably from the science side. When I was little, I had an interest in science, and they bought me a microscope for Christmas, and they bought me a chemistry set for Christmas. And he actually took what was an old grocery store setting that my sister and I had to kind of sell groceries out of the front of, and like a plaything, and he built around that a science lab for me. And we had that in the basement for years. I don't even remember when we finally took it down, but he built this whole big science lab so I could do my science in this kind of partitioned off room. It was probably one of the first cube farms that ever existed because it didn't have real tall ceilings. But I'd go in there and I had my microscopes and I had my chemicals, and I would, I always made my mom nervous because she thought I was going to blow the house up or something. But
we're talking to Dr. Cynthia Burr, and maybe someday in Greenfield Village or Henry Ford Museum, doctor, they'll have that little thing set up of when you were a child, So you get a nursing degree from Kalamazoo College.
It's actually from Nazareth College.
I'm sorry? Yeah, and then you get a biomedical engineering degree. What is biomedical engineering?
Well, I always describe biomedical engineering as, we take our engineering aspects and we take our medical aspects, and they kind of come together. And what we do is we look at things from an engineering perspective and ways that we can make advances either in medical instrumentation, things like heart stents, imaging, total hip replacements. When I first heard about biomedical engineering, it was kind of presented to me as, oh, these are the people that work for Stryker and make total joint replacements. And that's where I kind of started becoming interested in it. It's much broader than that. It goes all the way from like defibrillators to what I do now, which is injury biomechanics. So how do we interact with the world around us, and how can we prevent injuries from things like car accidents and sporting events, things of that nature?
Doctor, many young girls are great at math. Few of them become engineers. Why?
Well, I think there's that kind of historical that, you know, men go into engineering and women go into either life sciences or something, you know, not so hardcore mathematics wise. I was very fortunate that when I was in junior high, I had a math teacher who noticed I kind of had an ability to kind of pick up the math pretty quickly. And she actually sat me down and said, okay, we're going to have you do algebra in seventh grade, and that means that you'll do geometry in eighth grade. And I actually went out to the high school from junior high to take geometry because I had already advanced that far. And I really attribute a lot of my success in the math area to her, because she really saw that aptitude and helped me pursue that and kind of promoted it and encouraged it. So I think it's like finding those kids who have that kind of interest and being able to kind of cultivate that and have them understand that you can go into science and engineering and that's okay, and you can be successful even as a female. We have a pretty high, probably about almost 50% females in biomedical engineering. So we're getting there with biomedical engineering. Mechanical, electrical, some of the other engineering, not quite as strong in terms of a female representation.
You lead three very distinct lives. You're a mom and a wife, you're this biomedical engineer, and then you're this TV star. ESPN, the History Channel, Dancing with the Stars, with the NFL. How do you balance them all?
Well, that's a very difficult thing, and I hate to say that I compartmentalize things, but it's very difficult sometimes if I'm out in California and we're doing a rather long, sometimes we shoot for maybe 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and I'll be out there for those full 2-3 weeks, and it's hard for me not to kind of shell myself off and kind of go into that mode of, okay, I'm here and I'm doing this. Not that I forget my family or my job, but you know, I kind of have to, if I constantly think about my family back home, then it's almost more difficult, because I feel like, you know, I get depressed because I want to see them and I miss the kids and all those types of things. So it's almost like I carve out time in the day where I do call them or Skype with them. And you know, when I am home, then we try to do things. And I kind of joke that I earned my mom badge the last 4 days, because I did go to Cedar Point and I rode the rides, even though I don't always like them. And, you know, it's one of those things that I want the girls to know and the boys, that they can call me anytime, even if I'm not there, that I'm always available. Now we have such great technologies, you know, Skyping, you know, you can see somebody, which means a whole lot just to see each other. You know, it used to be you wrote letters or talked on the phone. Now you can actually see that person. And I think that gives them some assurance. And I always say to them, you know, when they say you're leaving again, and I'll always be like, but I always come back. So it's sometimes difficult, but, you know, we managed to get through it.
We're talking to Dr. Cynthia Burr, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Cynthia Burr, who's won an Emmy for her research work on the ESPN series Sports Science. Speaking of which, Cindy, you're the lead scientist on this show. Tell us about ESPN's Sports Science.
Well, Sports Science was the brainchild of Mickey Stern and John Brinkus, and they approached me probably about 5 years ago and said, you know, we want to do this show called Fight Science, which was the original show that I worked with them on. And I did that show. And then they said, we also want to do another show called Sports Science. And what we want to do is we want to look at sports from a scientific perspective and kind of break them down in terms of, you know, arm speed and how fast somebody can run, and kind of you know, describe different sports and using the laws of physics and things of that nature. And that was a big interest to me, because I have a child, well, I have four children, but my oldest child would watch ESPN 24/7 if he could. And so what's great about the show is we start to put a little science in front of these kids who are watching sports, which, of course, children, a lot of kids love sports and they love watching the athletes and they idolize these athletes. And they, you know, they're just like my son who would watch it 24/7 if they could. So if we can start to put a little bit of science in front of them and show them that science is cool and these athletes love to be a part of the show and they're excited to be there, and we kind of highlight different aspects of physics and just even physiology and things of that nature, I think that's a pretty cool concept. And so I was all on board when they started approaching me about the show. And so what I do is I go out there and I kind of say, okay, we have an accelerometer, we can measure this, we have different kind of technologies that we use on the show, and they'll come up with a concept of, okay, we want to showcase this about this particular athlete, and then we come up with a way for kind of measuring it. We have potentially an Olympic swimmer that we're going to be evaluating next week or have on the show next week. And so right now we're digging around trying to find technologies that will work underwater, which is a little bit of a challenge. But amazingly, there's a lot out there that we've been able to locate and hopefully be able to use next week when we actually, you know, feature her on the show.
Cindy, if you ever need somebody, you know, to be a role model for the before, Mike and I are available.
Yeah.
All right. So, May 2nd, 2011. You're in New York City. It's the 32nd annual Sports Emmys. And you win this Emmy. When you put your head on your pillow at some hotel in New York City that night, what did you think?
Well, it was kind of surreal. The whole thing is sometimes surreal. You know, like when I'm there and we're filming, or whether when I'm part of that, those kind of special events, you know, you almost are like, okay, how did I get here type of thing. And it is almost like you're in another life. Like you said, I leave these five lives or three lives. You know, I think it's one of those things where, you know, I was very proud of the work that we had done on the show. And I was glad that it was recognized, because when you go, and as you guys know, doing this production, there's a lot of things that are part of the show that are never seen. You know, there's people that never make the front line type of work, you know, on camera type stuff. And so all those people are so integral in the whole process. And so I think the one thing that I was probably the most excited about is that as a team, you know, that we won it, because so much went into the show and people worked really hard on that show. It's you know, it seems glamorous. It seems, oh, I was at the Emmys and I won an Emmy and we dressed up and we had one night of a lot of fun for several months of a lot of work. And so it's one of those things that I don't think people realize how much time and effort go into it. And I think I was the happiest for some of the producers who, you know, obviously as a biomedical engineer, having an Emmy is pretty cool. But for a producer, that's their NIH award. That's their, you know, their top billing type of thing, or publication, you know, for them. So I was really happy for them as well.
Dr. Burr, where do you keep your Emmy?
Where do I keep my Emmy? It's actually at home on my mantle in my fireplace. And it's in a room I don't frequent. It's in our dining room, and so I don't often see it. But every once in a while, I'll look by, and I'll see it. And I have taken it into, like, my kids' schools to kind of show kids what's possible, because I think that's important. And it's one of those things that you don't often get to see up close. I mean, it's a regular Emmy. It's a statue and it has my name on it. And so it's one of those things that I think it's good to show people what you can do. And like your show says, anything's possible.
You're involved with mixed martial arts, that MMA.
Mm-hmm.
Why, Cindy?
Why? Well, you know, it's kind of funny. When I first started doing research at Wayne State, we do research with USA Boxing. I'm like, really, boxing? I'm not, you know, real excited about that. But as I started doing the research, I think there's so much that we can learn from those athletes. You know, even just studying brain injury, which is what we do. I mean, that's our primary focus at Wayne State in bioengineering, is, you know, looking at boxers who sustain these repetitive impacts. We're able to learn from that. I think that the boxers, I know a lot of people view it as like a combat sport, and it really isn't a sport. But I do think it serves a purpose for us, even from our day-to-day lives, in terms of learning about head injuries and ways we can prevent them, and what we can learn from boxers, and what types of forces cause what types of injuries, and things of that nature. The other thing that I've noticed is that, like, boxing and MMA, especially boxing with younger kids, gives some kids a purpose. It gives them a feeling of belonging to a team. You know, I think that there's a lot of safety rules that are in place that people do not realize that are in place. You know, you see these bouts on TV, you see these MMA, you know, Ultimate Fighter things on TV, and you see all that, like the big drama part of it. But I do believe that there's a part of it that really serves a purpose in terms of, you know, giving kids a place to belong to, and also, you know, learning from what our body can tolerate and what we can then learn to apply to other things like just our day-to-day lives and other sports.
You've met and analyzed a whole bunch of the world's greatest athletes from all over the world. Dr. Burr, were there one or two athletes that really impressed you as people?
Yeah, I would have to say that the one athlete that I was the most impressed with was a young man named DJ Williams. And DJ was just recruited to Green Bay. He was a tight end in Arkansas, I believe. And he was a phenomenal individual. He basically grew up in an abusive house. His dad had abused his mother. And this is all on the internet. You can go out and search and find it about him. But his dad had abused his mother, and his mother made a decision that she had had enough. And she basically said to him, "Where do you want to move?" And he pointed on the map. And that's where they moved. And he didn't even play football for a while, got involved in football, and ended up being a tight end for Arkansas, and then went on, like I said, to get drafted for Green Bay. But the thing that was amazing about DJ is he was also a very accomplished pianist. He could play the piano. Just, it was amazing. He had taught himself how to play. He knew a lot of Alicia Keys songs. He wrote his own music. And when you talk to him, you know how you can talk to certain people and you just know they're a good person. DJ is one of those people. He's just a good person, and I really hope he goes far because, you know, I think as an athlete he's tremendous, and as a person he's tremendous as well.
You're also involved, or once, one episode, Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
How hard do those people work?
Well, you know, a lot of people have seen how hard... I think Dancing with the Stars has shown us how dancers are athletes. I mean, when we see people, especially the amateurs who go on there, and they get in shape, and they can do things at the end of the show that they couldn't at the beginning, I think that helps demonstrate it. We actually evaluated two of the professional dancers, Dimitri and Edita, and we found that these guys are really athletes. Part of what happens with the show is we do these 1.5, 2-minute segments, and so you don't see everything we taped. But we put Dimitri on the treadmill, and we made him work. And he was an amazing athlete.
They've just announced the cast for the 13th season. 12 of them, David Arquette, Ron Artest, Chaz Bono, Elizabeth Canalis, Nancy Grace, Rob Kardashian, Carson Kressley, Ricky Lake, on and on and on. Do you know who's going to win the 13th season?
Oh, I have no idea. It's so hard to tell, especially since I think that some of those people that are like, that you wouldn't expect, tend to be, you know, at the end, some of the best dancers. So it's hard to say. I mean, it's anybody's game. And the other thing is the professionals that work with them, I think that's a big part of it, is who they get paired with and kind of their chemistry and whether they can kind of be in sync or not.
We're talking to Cynthia Burr, Dr. Cynthia Burr, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're with Dr. Cynthia Burr, who's won an Emmy for her research work on the ESPN series Sports Science. Doctor, the signature injury of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq are these TBIs, traumatic brain injuries. Recently, I had a guest, Bob Woodruff, ABC News, who's lived through that, and he and his wife, Lee, have raised about $10 million for TBI. You've done a lot of work on TBI. Talk about that.
Yeah, one of the things, when I started at Wayne State, I started doing what I guess you could refer to as military research. And a lot of people were like, well, we, you know, our goal is to save lives and prevent injuries. Why are you doing that research? And that's my goal, too. And I think the things that we learn in the lab will ultimately translate to what they call in theater, the soldiers in the field, the frontline people. Bob's injury and story is just completely amazing. And you have to think that stories like that happen for a reason, that they serve kind of a an example for others to see and to understand and bring attention to much needed issues. And you're right, I mean, they've done a tremendous job raising money to study this type, you know, this injury. And we've done a lot of work at Wayne State in this area looking at primary blast injury. One of the things that the chair of our department, Dr. Albert King, did about 5-6 years ago is we actually put a shock tube in our lab to study primary blast waves. And, you know, he kind of was a forward thinker in saying, okay, we need this. This is going to be a topic we need to study, and it's going to be an important topic. And, you know, so my lab has specifically been looking at, you know, what causes the primary blast injuries in terms of, you know, what is that neurochemical cascade that occurs in the brain, and how can we prevent that cascade from happening? You know, can we give them some sort of a pharmaceutical that either prophylactically or right after the event to help kind of decrease the severity of those injuries so that we don't have to worry about rehab years down the road, that we can kind of prevent that sequela from occurring. And so we've studied that. We've also looked at secondary injuries due to blast, which is like the fragments, or tertiary injuries, actually being thrown against a building or whatever. All those injuries are important for us to study, and so that we can figure out ways to kind of prevent those injuries from occurring, whether it be through personal protective equipment or PPE, or like I said, you know, is there some sort of a clinically something we can do in terms of giving them some sort of drug or treatment that will help lessen the severity?
15 to 20% of the veterans coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq have TBI. Many scientists, Dr. Burr, do not believe in God. What role has faith played in your life?
Well, I think it's one of those things that, you know, there's certain things science can explain, and there's certain things that science can't explain. You know, when you hear those miracles and things of that nature, sometimes it's difficult for science to explain those. And I think that's where faith kind of takes over. And you have to, you know, rely on that there is some sort of force, there's some sort of being that's helped guide, you know, that has a master plan for all of us in this life. And, you know, I was actually on the set of Sports Science, and we're in the middle of filming, and there's, you know, four cameras, and I'm wiring up Larry Fitzgerald. And Larry says to me the same exact thing. You know, you're a scientist. Do you believe in God? And I'm like, well, yeah. Well, how as a scientist can you believe in God? And I'm like, well, I do, because I feel like, you know, there's this force that helps guide all of us. And I think it's even guiding our science. You know, I think that having somebody who has faith and believes that they can make a difference allows them to go out and discover things, whether it be, you know, designing a new prosthetic for those who you know, do lose a limb in Afghanistan or Iraq, or, you know, determining a new drug that will help prevent a certain disease. You know, I think all of us, not all of us, but a lot of us as scientists have that faith, because we know that, you know, those things are important and we can make a difference. And so I think faith has played a part of my life, maybe not as big as in other people's lives. And, you know, I had a priest once say to me that, you know, everybody has one point in their life where they have a spiritual kind of happening. And, you know, you'll kind of know it when it happens. And I don't know if that's happened yet for me. Not. I mean, there's been points in my time where my faith's been stronger than others. But I feel like there will be that point where I'll have that, oh yeah, moment, you know, where I understand what he was referring to.
Dr. Burr, do you believe in miracles?
I do. I do. I think, like I said, there's certain things that science can't explain. And, you know, maybe it's just that, and the naysayers would say, well, we just don't understand everything yet. And I think some of that is true. But I do feel like there's certain things that just happen and cannot be explained. You mentioned martial artists, and there's the mixed martial artists, and then there's the traditional martial artists. And traditional martial artists, a lot of them believe in chi. And chi is this force that they pull from inside and from the energy to protect themselves. And I've seen that demonstrated, and there's a lot of people who don't believe it even when they've seen it demonstrated, but I have seen it demonstrated. I do believe there's that force, that ability, is like kind of whether it's positive thinking or whatever, that you can't measure with science. You can't quantify. As scientists, we quantify things, and I think those are the types of things you can't quantify. And, you know, those are those miracles sometimes can't be quantified. There's no way to measure it.
I've been struck doing this show for 6+ years that whenever somebody has truly surrendered to God, Cindy, there's an inner peace that's unbelievable. It screams out. Dr. Scientist, why is that?
Well, I think at that point in time, it's that I think there's a lot of fear of the unknown. And, you know, like when I was little, I hated going to the dentist because I didn't know, you know, you go in there, it smells different. They have all these weird types of equipment. You know, had someone explained to me, you know, why it smelled the way it smelled, that it was the medicines or whatever, or what the equipment was for, I probably would have been less fearful. And I think people who have this faith in God and kind of surrender and say, okay, he's going to provide, aren't fearful. They have this inner peace because they know that no matter what, he will provide. And I've seen it with some of my friends. I've seen it with, you know, I'm on Facebook and I have a lot of friends who are on Facebook, and I've seen some people post things that I'm just amazed that they have so much faith that God will provide, and they have no fears because they know that somehow they'll get through. And so it's like they've given up control of their life and allowed, you know, God to take that control, and therefore they know that they're going to be provided for. So I think that's why there's that inner peace with those individuals.
We're talking to Dr. Cynthia Burr, a wife, a mother of four, a full-time biomedical engineering professor and researcher at Wayne State University. She's appeared on ESPN, the History Channel, Dancing with the Stars. She's won an Emmy. I think she even cooks.
A little bit.
Why? You've been with Wayne State University for many years. Why Wayne State University?
Well, you know, Wayne State University has a rich history in injury biomechanics specifically. And when I first started there, I don't think I really appreciated what they had to offer for me in terms of my area of research. Wayne is probably one of the most under-recognized institutions around in terms of being top-notch research facility. I feel like sometimes we're overshadowed by other universities in the area, but I really feel like we have so much to offer at Wayne State in terms of research and the professors that we have and all of our programs. You know, we have the med school that's affiliated with Wayne State, so there's a lot of opportunities at Wayne State, and so it makes sense for me to be there. I can't really imagine being anywhere else at any other university. You know, oftentimes people will ask me, you know, well, are you going to go out to California for good and do this production thing for good or whatever? And I'm like, well, no, I couldn't do that. I mean, I need Wayne State University to do even what I do on the show. A lot of the equipment we use on the show is equipment from my lab. And, you know, as I joke, I haven't quit my day job. You know, I'm still doing that because I do think that that's part of my life that I love as well. And I love it because, you know, Wayne has given me the opportunity to focus on the research that I want to focus on. And I honestly believe that the stuff that we're doing in the Bioengineering Center and at Wayne State University is making a difference. I mean, we're helping with the design of personal protection equipment for soldiers. We're designing new crash test dummies for the military. We are, you know, instrumental in looking at new ways of imaging the brain and things of that nature. So I really feel like what we're doing at Wayne State is making a difference. It's not just a publication that's going to get put in a journal and be read by your peers and no one else.
We're talking to Dr. Cynthia Burr, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Cynthia Burr, biomedical engineering professor and researcher at Wayne State University. Cindy, you've met Jerry Rice.
I have.
Might be the greatest NFL player of all time. Did he win Dancing with the Stars or come in second one year?
I don't know. I think He went quite a ways. I'm not sure.
He has a class about him. You've spent a lot of time with us. Tell us about Jerry Rice.
I think the one thing that struck me about Jerry Rice was that, as you mentioned, he is a phenomenal football player. He's one of the names that, you know, even my mother would probably recognize his name. You know, it's like the people recognize him as a football player, and that means that you've established yourself and is in a, you know, one of the greatest football players. And I think the one thing that struck me about him is he was so humble. He did not, you know, there was no, as I refer to it, as chest beating. You know, there was no, I'm great, I'm amazing, you know. And it's that kind of humility that I think has gotten him to where he is. I think when you approach life with I'm no better than anybody else, and I'm part of a team, and I'm part of this whole world that we live in, and, you know, I need to contribute just like everybody else, and my contributions are no greater. I think that's when you can accomplish a lot. And I think that's what Jerry demonstrated to me, is just that he was just the nicest guy, interacted with everybody on our crew. You know, it wasn't like he was treated like this all-star that he really was. And he didn't expect it. He didn't act like he needed to be treated that way. And so I just think he was a phenomenal individual.
All right, let's talk about being a mom. In Exemplar magazine recently, there was a long cover story about you, and I quote, "I don't see in my kids what I had as a child. While they'll be great when they get older working with technology, their curiosity is not the same with all these computer games and graphics catching their eyes. There's no interest anymore in conducting experiments because it's not entertaining. Everything is so real on the screen."
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember when I was little, I used to go out and I used to catch bugs, and I had a butterfly collection, which now kind of seems somewhat, you know, go out and catch butterflies and put them in a box or whatever. But, you know, and I looked at these things under my microscope that I had, and I was curious, and I'd go out and I'd do things outside, and I would run my experiments and all that. And I don't see that now with kids, because everything's on the internet. If you want to see what a fly's wing looks like, you can go on the internet and pull up a picture, which is great, but it's not the same. You know, it's not the same as actually going and looking at it firsthand, doing things, you know, yourself, and not just, you know, going online or playing a game or whatever. And so I do feel like, you know, as I mentioned, kids are going to be great with technology. We see that with the soldiers, the ones that are over in Iraq that get the technology, the heads-up displays and stuff. The younger ones are real quick to jump on and know how to use it, because they've used video games and they, you know, they're used to that. But they don't, you know, everything's given to you. There's no kind of seeking that out and finding the answer yourself. And so it does worry me a little bit that we can't keep the attention of our youth, because it's all these bells and whistles that are constantly going off around them. And there's no ability to just, you know, quietly go through a process and come up with an answer. So it'll be interesting to see, as this generation of DSs and iTouches and all that gets to be older, where we'll be in terms of research.
You may well be the only person from Sturgis that's ever won an Emmy. Well, down the road on 94 in Chelsea,
yeah,
the Dr. Cynthia Burr with the Emmy is named Jeff Daniels from Chelsea. And a few years ago, he was on the show, and he talked about taking risks in life, probably mm-hmm. for 5 minutes. Talk to us about taking risks.
Well, I think the biggest risk that I took was making that switch from nursing into engineering and not knowing where it was going to lead me. I was working at a job full time as a nurse, working on, you know, at St. Joe's in Ann Arbor on the floor, doing, you know, pre and post op surgical stuff. And I made that decision to switch into engineering and not really knowing what was going to happen. But I'll tell you why I did that primarily is because I liked being a nurse, but I didn't love it. You know, and I heard a lot of people complaining about their jobs and, oh, it's a lot of work. And I could not see how I could retire working as a nurse. It's a lot of hard work. And I didn't love it. And I think that's the one thing, is that, you know, going into engineering, and the more I got into it, the more I realized that it was kind of what I was meant to do. And if you don't take that risk and make that decision to try something different, you're not going to know whether it's right or not. And so I do think, you know, taking risks and, you know, trying to kind of do different things to see if you like it or if it's, you know, if it's going to work for you or if it's going to fit in your life is important. And so I, you know, obviously a little risk taking, some risk taking might be a little extreme. Like, I'm not going to go bungee jumping or anything like that. But, you know, switching careers, I think that was a smart risk for me to take.
Dr. Cynthia Burr, what dreams or goals do you still have?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. It's the whole bucket list. And I don't think I really have a bucket list. You know, I think there's certain things that I want to continue to do the production stuff. I'd like to do things beyond sports science and, you know, trying to expand the science into other areas to kind of get kids excited about science. I think that in terms of, you know, I often think about, okay, you know, I'm a full professor. I have tenure at Wayne State. Is this it? You know, have I reached the top of where I'm going? And I think I can't, you know, I can't be at the top of my career. And I do need to set more goals, 5-year plans, and figure out what I want to do, you know, down the road. Because I do think that there's a lot of things that I would like to continue to do. I'd like to develop some curriculum for kids in science and, you know, things of that nature. So there's a few things left that I have on my bucket list. I kind of joked the one time that, you know, things like I want to learn how to play the saxophone, and, you know, in my spare time, things like that. I do think you need to have those activities. And that's the one thing that I feel like I'm lacking a little bit right now is that balance, having those things that I enjoy in life and that it's not all work, work, work. And I, unfortunately, I think both my husband and I get into this mode where we work all day, we come home, we feed the kids, we do some things with them, and then we sit back down at our computers. And unfortunately, with laptops and things of that nature, they're so accessible, and, you know, it's hard not to go back to that at the end of the day. And I think that's the one thing that I need to work on is that balance.
Dr. Cynthia Burr, you've achieved so much in your short life to date, but I believe your greatest days are ahead of you. As our time winds down tonight, what advice, Dr. Burr, would you give our young listeners?
I think the one thing that, if I could tell my kids, like, you know, the one piece of advice that I would give my kids and thus, you know, the young listeners is you have to love what you do. And that was that switch from nursing into engineering. And even though it was a risk, I love my job. I have no problem when Monday morning rolls around. I have no problem getting out of bed and going to work. And I think that is so important. You're at your job, you know, at least 40 hours a week. And if you don't like it, you know, it's not worth it. It's worth so much a year to like your job. And so if that means you make a little bit less money and have to cut corners here and there, but you are happy, then that right there is worth it.
Dr. Cynthia Burr, what an honor to have you. What a role model for Sturgis, for all of Michigan. What an ambassador for Wayne State University. Keep up the fabulous work.
Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.